Good morning. It's nice to see everyone. Do you ever get discouraged and wonder if you're ever continuing to make any spiritual progress? We've probably all done that occasionally. When we are babes in Christ, we, as well as others, can see changes almost weekly. As we enter our spiritual childhood, the growth continues to be steady and fairly noticeable. And sometimes, just as with a growing child, it takes place in spurts. By the time we should be reaching spiritual adulthood, it may not be obvious that growth is taking place. However, slowly and steadily, changes should be occurring. Instead of being content with slow and steady progress, we may get discouraged. We look at our spiritual growth and remember how it was when we first came to the knowledge of the truth, when we were babes. Back then, we seemed to be growing by leaps and bounds. We forget that our growth was so obvious because we have been doing so obviously things that were contrary to God's way. When we stopped going our own way, it was apparent to everyone. As we mature, mature spiritually, the problems we are overcoming are less apparent to others. That's because our problems become more internal. Growth should be happening, but it's less obvious than the physical changes we made in the past. Sometimes others can see changes in us better than we can. Of course, there's a flip side to that, too. Others can see when we have a problem better than we can. As Mr. Wendt noted in one of his Something to Ponder letters, and I'll quote, "For those who step off the path leading to the kingdom, those around us usually recognize it before we do." So how can we know that we are still growing? How can we know that if we quit growing and are just drifting? Or as Mr. Wendt said in the same message, are we okay with our present lifestyle? And I might add, do you think God is okay with it? My title today, are we still growing? Or have we begun to drift? Obviously, we can use the same types of questions that we ask ourselves during our routine self-examination as we answer this question. If we are honest with ourselves, we have a pretty good idea of whether we are making any headway. We can see whether we are exhibiting more and more of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we can see whether or not we're coming out of the world more and more. Perhaps the question we should be asking ourselves is, how can we make sure that we keep growing and don't start drifting? Today, I'd like to spend some time exploring that question. First of all, what does it matter? There is a reason why we want to stay on the right path and not wander off. And that is we want to be in God's kingdom. Perhaps the most important way for us to keep growing is to keep our eye on the goal, because as we read in Proverbs 29:18, without vision, the people perish. Keeping our eye on the goal will be our motivation for wanting to make changes in our lives and for being willing to put forth the effort that it takes to overcome our sins. Of course, we have to know what the goal is. We can remind ourselves by looking at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 to 52. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We want to be in that first resurrection of the first fruits so that we can be part of God's permanent administration, restoring his laws and bringing peace to the earth, and then taking it throughout the universe. For him to want to change us from flesh and blood to spirit, he has to be sure that we are worthy to be changed from this physical body and resurrected to spirit. That's why we go through all the tests and pressures of everyday living, to see if we're worthy to be in his kingdom. Of course, we will never really be worthy, but God needs to know that he can trust us and rely on us to do things his way forever. As Gerald Ost said on the last day of the feast in Panama City Beach in 2023, and I'll quote, God has to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we will not quit once we are spirit. So it's not just now that he's watching to see whether we will quit, but he even wants to make sure that we won't quit in his kingdom. He does not want another Lucifer. It's all well and good to talk about being kings and priests and working with God in Christ forever as part of the administration of living forever in the heavenly Jerusalem. But let's forget being kings and priests and teachers for a moment. Don't most of us yearn for a body that doesn't hurt anymore? A body that allows us to be unhindered by age or disability. A body that doesn't need food to fuel it. Not that we don't enjoy food, but we won't need it. A body that can live forever feeling better than we can imagine. Our young people don't have the aches and pains of old age yet, but they may have skinned a knee or twisted an ankle or run out of breath when they were running. If so, even they can understand why the rest of us who aren't young anymore are looking forward to having a spiritual body. A spiritual body won't have any of these problems. And since we are still very human, that might be the first thing we can really conceive of as a benefit of entering the kingdom of God. And that is having a new body. Let's look at Matthew 5. In Matthew 5, 48, for some more of this somewhat limited vision that we start with. Matthew 5, 48. Therefore, be or become perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. While that is an order for us, Perhaps it's also an encouragement for the future. Actually being perfect, growing into complete maturity of godliness in mind and character, is something that will occur in the future. Our minds and body, now spirit, will finally be in sync with doing the right things and avoiding the wrong. We will also no longer have to worry about anything. Let's look at some familiar advice in Matthew 6. Matthew 6, starting in 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. Perhaps living in Florida makes it even harder for us not to worry about such things. If a hurricane came through and destroyed our community, we'd be scrambling to find clothes, shelter, food, because our physical bodies have basic needs. But in the future, we won't have to have gallons of water, emergency food, or battery-operated radios and flashlights and backup batteries. In verse 34, we're told, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. There will be challenges and work to do in the future, but if we don't get tired, if we're not sick, and if we don't have Satan around us to throw monkey wrenches into things, this work will be something we can look forward to. God made us to enjoy productive work. Perhaps this is as much vision as we need for right now, just the thought of a physical change and enjoyable work to do. There will be plenty of opportunities to continue learning when we're in the kingdom. For example, how will we deal with nations that have been arch enemies? How do we sort out some of the messes that men have made? I think these may be the kinds of things that God lets us grow into with his guidance and encouragement. But kingship and priesthood are just a little beyond my grasp right now. But I think in time, even they will be part of the real vision for all of us. So we can keep on growing and not allow ourselves to drift if we know where we want to go and what we're trying to get to. Another thing that we want to consider, whether we wonder about whether we need to stay on the right path and not drift, is to remember that God wants us to make it into his kingdom. In fact, he's more anxious for this to happen than we are. He knows what things are in store for us and that we're not able to comprehend yet. I'm sure that part of this is because he isn't limited in the way we are. How many of us can say that we truly comprehend being able to walk through a wall or not needing to sleep? Well, if we can't imagine these things, how can we possibly understand what it'll be like to come up with some of the things we may be given an opportunity to help out in the future? The main point is God is rooting for us. How can we even think of giving up? We're reminded in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Not only is God rooting for us, he's giving us a tool to use to help us make it and help us deal with whatever trials we face. We may take it for granted, but what is going to keep us from changing lives of everyone in the future? Access to the Holy Spirit, and He gives that to us now. But we need to drink it in regularly. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, we're told, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. How is it being renewed? By receiving more of God's Holy Spirit. If we don't replenish it every day, then we will no longer have both the outward man and inward man, and they will be perishing. And yes, that's a scary thought, isn't it? And of course, we can't receive God's Holy Spirit if we aren't in contact with Him and asking Him for it in daily prayer. Our motivation to keep in contact with God should include wanting to make sure we don't lose His Holy Spirit. As David cried out in Psalm 51, "Don't take your Holy Spirit from me." We can lose it if we're not using it. And that is a really scary thought. During every feast, we're reminded that someday the desert is going to blossom like a rose. The nature of animals is going to change, so we'll no longer have to fear any of them. And the plowman is going to overtake the reaper so that hunger is a thing of the past. The lame will be able to walk, the blind to see, and the deaf to hear. All these things are probably just the tip of the iceberg of the changes that will occur. And don't you want to see it all when it finally does come to pass? It will take holding on to the truth, being obedient to God, and doing both of these things to the end of our physical lives. We want to make sure that we're not drifting away from doing these things. There are some people that have just turned their backs and walked away from the truth. But for many, it's a matter of stepping off the path just a little bit and then failing to get back while they could still find it. Drifting can be easy, but it won't lead us to our goal, the opportunity to reign with Christ forever and ever. In Hebrews 2, verse 1, there's a warning about this specific problem of drifting. Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. The things we have heard and read are the very words of God, and we want to make sure we hold on to them, not neglect them. There are signs that we may be drifting, and we may need to be on the lookout for them. Maybe we don't feel like praying anymore, or that it's something we don't do regularly or consistently. If that's the case, we may be losing our fear of God. Back in 1989, we attended the feast in Bend, Oregon. I know that's a surprise to a lot of you, since they think I've never gone anywhere but Jekyll or Tampa. Anyway, back to that feast. One of the speakers mentioned that when we talk about fearing God, we're talking about fearing to be separated from Him and all the wonderful promises he has made to us, and fear of losing his protection. We fear to lose out on what he has in store for us, and that's a good thing. It's not that we're afraid of him. We're afraid of not being chosen to receive all the blessings that we can enjoy and which await us in the future. It's being afraid of not being considered worthy to be given the opportunity that God is offering to us. That's why we need to read the advice regularly that we're given in Psalms and Proverbs. Let's look at a few examples. Psalm 111, verse 10. Psalm 111, 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The Good News Translation says, the way to become wise is to honor the Lord. And Proverbs 1, verse 7. Proverbs 1, 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And again, from the Good News. To have knowledge, you must first have reverence for the Lord. And Proverbs 9, 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Again, from the Good News. To be wise, you must first have reverence for the Lord. So fearing the Lord means that you have a reverence and respect for him and want to honor him by doing what he wants us to do and not doing our own thing and expecting a good outcome from that. If we no longer fear that something we're doing isn't pleasing to God, we may have cut ourselves off from him and cut ourselves off from God's help. And that is definitely a problem. We need to get back on the path quickly. Another reason we want to make sure and be among those who fear the Lord is told to us in Malachi 3, verse 8. Malachi 3, verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. We definitely want to make sure that our name stays written in the book of life if we want to receive all the promises that God has given us. We do that by studying his word, meditating on it, and applying it in our lives. Unfortunately, another sign we may be drifting is we don't want to do much study anymore. Let's turn to Revelation 3. Revelation 3, 17. And we need to ask ourselves if we become like members in Laodicea who say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. This is the attitude that gets into the mind and hearts of certain people who fear that they've already achieved everything and have no need to change. But what was Jesus Christ's answer to that church and the attitude that would be prevalent at the end time? And I quote, you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They didn't see their true spiritual condition. They know how to talk the talk, but they no longer really understand that they are no longer walking the walk. They have drifted away from doing the things that God wants. If we think we really have nothing left to learn, That's a dangerous place to be. We need to follow Peter's advice. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. 1 Peter 2, 2. Peter's advice, desire the pure milk of his word, that you may grow thereby. If we are losing our desire to study, we're putting ourselves at risk. If we don't think we need to look at the Word of God very much, how long will it be before we can no longer discern the truth? If we're not hungering and thirsting to know more of the things of God, we may be drifting spiritually. We need to never forget that Satan knows the Bible. He can quote scripture out of context normally and use it in some way to distort or change the intended meaning. Do we know the Word of God well enough to know when he is doing that? He is waiting to trip us up and take us out. And we need to be on guard. The next point may seem a little odd to some of you, but I think it can be critical whether or not we keep growing or begin to drift. We need to pay attention to all the details. For instance, we know that we're to assemble together on the Sabbath. And if we're here every week, that's a step in the right direction. But what do we do when we're here? Do we take notes? Do we listen attentively? Are we warm and friendly? Just being here is not enough. One of the ways God has to measure us is by watching how we observe the Sabbath. Have we come to understand more fully about our relationship with God through the Sabbath? Is our understanding reflected in the way we keep the Sabbath? Has our Sabbath observance improved as a result? What we do and don't do on the Sabbath should be determined by a continually expanding understanding of God's laws concerning the Sabbath. I'm not suggesting that we become Pharisees, but some details are important. Some of the things we tend to ignore in our lives as being too inconsequential to worry about might be just the kind of thing that's holding us back from going any further. How many of us have been more aware of how often we use inappropriate language? How many of us worry about that because it's just a little thing? For us, tiny changes may make the difference between whether or not God knows that we're really ready to teach someone else how to live. Another thing that can cause us to drift is discouragement. We don't want to become discouraged by the fact that we sometimes understand things on a spiritual level that we're physically incapable of carrying out. Let's look at Romans 7. Romans 7, Paul is lamenting the fact that he's not capable of doing what he knows he should be doing. Romans 7, starting in verse 15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will do, that I do not practice. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. In verse 19, he repeats this thought. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. And in verse 22, he points out delights in the law of God according to, he points out that he delights in the law of God according to the inward man. And in verse 23, he notes, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Much as he wanted to, much as he tried, he was going to fall short physically of what he knew he wanted to do as a follower of Christ, just like us. The basics of Christianity are very simple. To love God with all our heart and mind and soul, and to love our neighbors as ourselves, as it says in Matthew 24, verses 34 to 40. We can understand these concepts intellectually, but none of us are capable of fully living up to these simple commandments yet. The thing we have to keep fighting to do is what we know to do, no matter what. The moment we give up the fight, we can be sucked back into the world just like that. What could be a sign that we may be in danger of drifting? If we prefer to be with people who don't have the Spirit of God, if we're comparing ourselves with people who aren't trying to obey God's commandments, well, doing that, we probably come off looking pretty good. But not always, since there are still a lot of what we would call good people out there, but they are not in here working or getting to know more about God and how he wants us to live. So that's not going to help us grow. Remember, we're still talking about our spiritual growth and whether or not we're making any progress. We have to realize that it's very tempting to tell ourselves, well, at least I'm not doing that, whatever that happens to be. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12 reminds us that we're not wise if we measure ourselves by ourselves or compare ourselves among others. We can tend to think that as long as we stay away from actually worshiping another God, for example, we're not that bad. Well, there's so much more than actually bowing down to some physical idol to consider. We can't evaluate ourselves honestly if we start off with that promise, well, at least I'm not doing that. I'd like to refer back to Matthew 5:48 for a moment. Matthew 5:48. Be or become, therefore, perfect, like your Father in heaven is perfect. Does he really mean perfect? Well, yes, he does. And since the standard he wants us to measure ourselves by is without fault, without shortcomings, without sins, without offenses, without weaknesses of any kind, well, it's a high one. But any other standard won't do because it won't help us attain the kingdom of God. It's hard to hold ourselves to a higher standard when the rest of the world doesn't. So if you're not comfortable, So if you're more comfortable not trying to meet those standards anymore, we may start drifting. If we don't want to drift, we have to be anchored to the truth. We have been taught the things of God, and we don't want to let them go. Let's look at what we're told in Colossians 2. Colossians 2, verses 6 to 8. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted up and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding it with thanksgiving. Verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. We need to make sure that we're following the right traditions. Our minds have to be anchored in the truth. Ephesians 4, verses 14 and 15. Ephesians 4, 14 and 15, we're told that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickeries of men, in the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. You can pick up anything and everything out there in the world. We just need to ask ourselves to ask for the wisdom and ask for discernment to make sure we keep on growing. We have to be consistently aware that we could stop growing. We need to make sure that we use God's Holy Spirit. We need to try to change so that we may be found by God in peace, without spot and blameless, as 2 Peter 3:3 says. We need to show God that we really do want to be better Christians. We're warned in Galatians 6:9 not to grow weary in well-doing. As humans, the tendency may always be there to start letting down on ourselves and getting down on ourselves. But David's example should encourage us to realize that God will not forsake us even when we have our spiritual ups and downs, since David certainly didn't make steady progress throughout his entire life. He too had his peaks and valleys. The important thing is that he didn't stay down when he was down. Spiritual growth is a daily choice. It's not something that just happens. It happens only when you choose to do the things the way they are supposed to be done, according to God's standards, and not according to the world's, according to what God says we should be doing, and not what we feel like doing. That brings me to the final area I want to return to briefly today, the place where we started. Why do we want to keep on growing? Well, I can only tell you why I want to keep on growing. You'll have to see whether or not you like these ideas and what other ones you'd like to add. I'll start with things that connect physically to where I am now, but I know that in time I'll be able to comprehend something that I have, but like having my own cities or things way beyond what I do now. First, not only do I want to change from physical to spiritual, as I referred to earlier, but I want to be there to see what God had originally planned for mankind if we hadn't gone off on a 6,000-year side trip. Just as men will drive miles out of their way rather than admit they're lost. Just a generalization, of course. So too has mankind been lost. I want to be there when people finally realize what happened. I want to see the eyes of mankind open to the fact that they were lost and wandering and getting further and further off course because they didn't think they needed any help. Second, I want to be part of helping people unlearn and leave all the lies behind. Won't it be nice to help people understand that God doesn't want people sending all their sons and daughters off to be walking suicide bombs? I want to help people come out of their bondage to some of the ways of their culture, such as the belief in voodoo. Wouldn't you like to be able to go over to India and tell those people, look, don't let those cows roam anywhere they want, trampling your gardens. Eat them. I wouldn't want to try to do that now. I want to see the look of awakening when people come to see that no economic or political state system was the answer. Yes, I look forward to the restoration of all things, including God's government on this earth. I want us all to grow so that God can help us understand more and more. Let's look at Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5, starting in verse 12, reading from the NIV. Hebrews 5, 12. Though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Verse 14. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. If we aren't growing in understanding the difference between good and evil, and if we aren't doing only the good, God can't give us the meat that we all need and desire. There's one last thing I think would serve as a great motivation for all of us who has lost someone we love, and that is the hope of the resurrection from the dead. This hope, one of our fundamental beliefs, is encouraging because we can look forward to seeing those who have died in the faith resurrected to spirit. We can also look forward to seeing the rest of our loved ones resurrected to physical life to hear the truth for the first time. Well, the only way we're going to see those loved ones again is if we're there. That's motivation for me. As long as we're human, there will always be conflict between our old nature and the new nature that God puts in us. As long as our heart is submissive and we have faith, God will continue to forgive. But growing does take effort on our part. It takes being dedicated to making that effort. We have to keep striving. We can't quit. Unfortunately, we won't win every confrontation against sin. But there is a difference between an act and an attitude. Do we want and try to do what's right? As long as the answer is yes, then we're growing, and God will not let us fail. I'll finish with Philippians 1, verse 6. Philippians 1, verse 6, we're reminded that we can be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I'd like to suggest that so long as we're still able to see that we're not perfect and we're still trying to be obedient to God's laws and his will and still trying to overcome the sins that entangle us, as it says in Hebrews 12, verse 1, then we probably are growing. We don't want to focus on sins and shortcomings. Give ourselves credit for the changes we have made, and don't ever quit.